Gospel, the 24th chapter, verses 36 through 44. These are the words of Christ. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. An unexpected hour, that is, when Christ is coming. You know, the first Sunday of Advent traditionally is always the Sunday in which we emphasize the second coming of Christ into the world. And it may seem a little out of place when you talk about Christmas, preparation of Christmas, Advent, and all that, but it is indeed appropriate since we're talking about Christ coming into the world, the original birth of Christ in the world, and then also emphasizing the anticipation and waiting for Christ to come again, as has been promised. And so we know that Christ is coming at an unexpected hour, and we hear the scripture, and we hear it almost as a warning for us to always be prepared, to always be awake, to always be alert to the fact that Christ is coming. And I think this passage also invites us to be aware of Christ's presence in our lives this day and every day, to be aware of how Christ speaks to us this day and every day, to be aware that Christ will speak to us at that unexpected time, that time when we're not really focused on Christ, that time when we're busy with other things, when demands come upon us, or when we're angry or frustrated, or when our hearts are more filled with hate than love, then Christ comes to us at that unexpected moment. And so a part of Advent is the anticipation and the invitation to be aware indeed of Christ's presence at that unexpected hour, at that unexpected time. It's like indeed that this season calls upon us to be aware and to look for that unexpected hope, that unexpected hope that is there for us. This passage in Matthew talks about Noah and the ark and how indeed that came at an unexpected time. But then immediately my mind goes to the dove. You know, Noah released the raven and the raven kept flying, but the raven did not have to land because the tradition was, I think I've told you before, that the angels feed the ravens. And so the raven was good just to keep flying. But then Noah released the dove and the dove flew around and came back. And then Noah released the dove, and the dove came back, and as it was coming, it had a branch, a little green branch in its mouth. And it still was coming back to land, but the last time he let it go, it never returned. But that little green branch told Noah, indeed, that there was life out there. It wasn't just a vast, dead, empty sea, that there was life out there. A tree had produced a little green branch, and so that dove with the little green branch is indeed our eternal sign of hope. You might say, well, Noah was expecting it. He was hoping for it, but I don't know. I don't know if he was really expecting it or not, but it came at that unexpected time just when they were wanting to have hope that finally they could get off the ark, that finally this period was over, a new time in the age of humankind was upon them. And so indeed, that little green branch was the sign of hope, that unexpected hope. As we go go through Advent, let's find those moments. I think God will direct us toward unexpected hope, no matter what our situation, no matter where we might find ourselves. When I was in Lancaster serving church there, it was a downtown church, and one Sunday we had these two young guys, let be 19, 20, maybe 21. They were sitting there. They were wearing white shirts with black ties. And of course, I saw them sitting in the congregation, and I thought immediately, oh, those look like, I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Did somebody say Mormons? Yes. I thought, that's funny. They look like Mormons. And we're a United Methodist church in Lancaster. So then I thought, well, maybe not or whatever. So then as they got up to leave, they introduced themselves to me, elder somebody, and that they were Mormons. And I was like, wow, because normally we think of Mormons coming into a town. They're not there to visit other churches. They're there to proselytize. They're there to help start churches or help in ministries of churches or whatever else. The only trouble was at that time there wasn't a Mormon church in Lancaster. So they came time to worship, and they came to church, at our church. And then that next week, knock on my door and at the church office, and they came in and sat down, and they talked with me for a good long while about United Methodism, what United Methodism was, and everything else. And then I started asking them about Mormon church. I knew a good bit about it, but I wanted their take on different things and all this sort of stuff. And then they said, well, since we don't have a Mormon church here, do you mind if we worship with you? And I was like, no, be glad to have you. Of course, in the back of my mind, I was going, uh-oh. You know, that's one of those things. Maybe I don't want the Mormons coming in and proselytizing my members or whatever. And I was like, ooh, I might have to say, you're no longer welcome. But I never had to do that. They were delighted to be a part of our church family while they were there. They were delighted to be there and worship with us. And they would come back from time to time and meet with me and go over things and even questions they were having about things and questions about their missionary work. Even though they were devoted, I knew that they were steadfast in what they were doing. They wanted a broader perspective on things. And you don't think about the fact that people of other denominations, other parts and pieces of Christianity might be extremely interested in being in fellowship one with another. And I told them that they were welcome to also participate in communion because United Methodists believe in an open table. And I said, you know, of course, you're welcome to participate in that. And they did. And I thought that was just amazing. It was a little spark of hope for me that as Christians, sometimes we are more or less violently opposed to one another. But then at other times we realize that we serve a God who is a God of all, a God of everyone, a God who made all things. And so it was that moment of unexpected hope. But also, I think that during this season in particular, perhaps we should be aware of Christ's ways of giving us unexpected love, love where we're not expecting it. You know, we expect it with family and friends and other people. We expect at this time of year for everyone to give expressions of love and kindness and caring to one another. But at times, isn't it fascinating when we have that unexpected love that comes to us, unexpected caring, unexpected compassion, consideration, going the second mile to show us that they are concerned in some way or another. And I think this passage calls upon us to understand the ways in which that unexpected can happen, giving us an invitation to be aware that that unexpected love might be seen in our lives, will be seen as we walk with Christ through this time in anticipation of Christ coming again, but also in anticipation of how Christ touches us and assures us of Christ's everlasting love. One year we were doing a Christmas tree, you know, that has the things for, I think this was through the Department of Social Services, and they have the wishes on there. And so I took one, and all it said was PS2 game. I thought, PS2 game. Okay. I thought, I think that must be a electronic game, I think PlayStation. I was thinking maybe that's it, I don't know. But it just said game, and I thought, that doesn't give me enough information. I'm sure there's a lot of different types of games, whatever. Well, I decided I would go to one of the stores in Greenville, and I went there, and it was a store that sold refurbished ones as well. And so, you know, it was Christmas season, store was crowded, all these people there, the help staff that were there, they were just sort of overwhelmed and everything, and I thought, I'm walking up here with this ticket and saying, I'm on a PS2 game, you know. I thought, they're going to think I'm an idiot. So I found this young guy, and I explained a little bit. I said, I got this off a Christmas wish tree. It's through the Department of Social Services. All it says is PS2 game. I said, can you help me? I'm not even really sure what that means. He immediately started helping me. And he started talking about the different ones. He sort of figured out exactly what I needed. He wanted to make sure it was just right. He spent all this time with me, even though the store was crowded, a lot of people there. You could hear people getting a little, you know, ticked off about things. And he just showed me all this compassion and care over me buying one refurbished game. It wasn't like I was making a great big expenditure, but he knew that I was doing it for someone else, and he wanted to make sure it was just right. And so then he found one that had just been lightly used. He even tested it to make sure that it was just right. He said, I don't want anyone to be disappointed. All this stuff. He just helped me more and more than I could ever imagine. And, you know, I'm sure you're like me. You do a lot of shopping at Christmas during this season. But when someone goes out of their way to make sure that everything is just right, when they realize that you're doing something out of love for someone else, not just your family, but for a stranger, then when they go out of your way, that is an expression of unexpected love. I hope that you encounter that. I hope that you realize that this is the season of anticipation. This is a season of waiting. And as we are expecting Christ's return, we can also expect to encounter that moment of love, which comes as a surprise, as a moment that is not what we anticipated, but also unexpected joy. Unexpected joy during this season, unexpected joy and marvelous ways in which Christ's appearance shows us that kind of joy. I think immediately of Simeon and Anna. If you remember when Christ was brought to the temple and Simeon was there, and he was just a devout man. He was a devout man who spent a lot of time at the temple. He was very devout, and he knew that God had promised him that he would not die, even though he was older, that he would not die until he saw how God would save his people. And so Simeon is there, and then Simeon realizes when Mary and Joseph come up that Christ, that Jesus is the Savior, the long anticipated, much prophesied about Savior of the world. And so Simeon gives his marvelous prayer, praising God for letting him see the Savior of the world, praising God with great joy, saying, now I can die, now I can go in peace, knowing that what you have prophesied is indeed coming to truth. And then Anna, an older lady who was in the temple and who was a prophet, and they said she fasted day and night. She was there, you know, not in the parts where only men could go, but she was there, and she was very devout, and then she also recognizes that Christ is the Savior, and she is a prophet, and she prophesies to the fact that Christ is the Savior. Two people who had unexpected joy. They probably did not anticipate on that day they would encounter Christ in just such a way in which they had been waiting for most of their lives, a way in which they had been anticipating, but a way that was truly unexpected. I pray indeed that you might have that unexpected time as well. But then perhaps above all things, that we would find that unexpected peace. You know, it's sort of interesting to talk about peace at this time of year when things are so busy, so many activities, when our calendars are full, and when other events are crowding in upon us and other things, to find that unexpected peace, that moment where Christ's assurance wraps around us like a warm blanket, and Christ is with us, and Christ says, here, this is your moment of unexpected peace. peace. I'm with you. I want you to be aware of it, and I want you to feel it, and I want you to know that my presence brings peace. It's not by accident that Christ is called Prince of Peace, because that's the peace that Christ brings into our lives that counters all of our anxieties, all of our fears, all of our doubts, all of our failures, all of our mistakes, counters all of that with perfect peace, complete and whole peace. I hope that you're able to find the unexpected during this season of Advent that we are walking into this day. I hope that you can see that it is your invitation to find that hope, love, joy, and peace. To find that in unexpected moments that are powerful, that still us, that cause us to reflect on the Savior who is born and the Savior who will come again. Let us pray.